Before we can share our faith with someone, it's a good idea to know where they're coming from. What have they already heard about Jesus? What is difficult for them to accept about the gospel? In what areas do they struggle where the Bible could help provide answers? Let's take a closer look at the beliefs, values, and attitudes of unbelievers. First, those who reject faith in God often have a skepticism of the supernatural. These people are called naturalists. They dismiss the possibility of divine involvement in humanity's origin or history. Atheists fall into this category and believe firmly that God does not exist. Agnostics believe it is impossible to know whether God exists or not. They don't know for sure, so they don't believe in Him. Others have the opposite mindset. They freely accept the supernatural and believe in the existence of many gods. They might even say they believe in Jesus, too. But this is impossible. The God of Christianity cannot be one among many. God clearly says in the Bible to have no other gods beside Him. Anything else is the worship of idols. Another type of person might say that all religions point to the same God. Jesus might be one way to get to heaven, but maybe there are other ways, too. People who reject Christianity may have many different reasons and explanations, but the Bible tells us what will happen to those who believe and those who do not. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those who reject God's existence and His offer of forgiveness through Christ are spiritually dead. Unbelievers will experience a lack of peace and purpose in this life, and eternal death in the next. One worldview that is widely believed is postmodernism. Let's look at this as an example, and find the contradictions between it and Christianity. Jesus taught that we should love God and love our neighbor. Postmodernism claims that there is no universal meaning to life, so the only thing we can do is love ourselves. Christians believe that God determines what is right and wrong, and we should live by what He says. Postmodernism says it's up to the individual to decide what is right and wrong based on how you think and feel. The Bible teaches that violating God's standard is sin, but those who don't have faith in God and choose their own standards of morality have no basis to believe that sin exists. The ultimate result is that Christians understand their need for a Savior to forgive their sin and help them live according to God's standard. Someone who is postmodern, however, sees no need for a Savior. They reject God and live according to their own rules. You can see how important it is to understand these basic assumptions before trying to share your faith. In this case, your evangelistic effort cannot center around a simple explanation of Jesus' death and a resurrection, since someone who is postmodern sees no need for a Savior. You will quickly find yourself frustrated. People who do not share your faith need to see the fruit in your life, not just hear you trying to convince them to believe through your words. Sometimes, the best approach to evangelism is developing friendships with non-believers and inviting them to watch how you live. They need to see examples of Jesus and His teachings lived out in real life. This is exactly what the Bible says to do. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The way we live is an invitation for people to observe the hope of God and ask questions about our faith. We are the only ones who can provide them real answers, but it is often our actions that are our most powerful witness, not our words. Here are 5 ways to reframe your approach to youth evangelism. First is the relational factor. Focus on counting conversations, not conversations in your youth ministry. It is through developing trustworthy relationships that you will be able to naturally share your faith, and the other person will want to listen. Second is the narrative factor. Building a real friendship will require you to listen and care about the other person's story. Listen to what they have to say before sharing your personal story and God's bigger story. The communal factor is key, especially for teenagers who thrive within a peer group. Expect faith development to occur normally in the context of authentic Christian community. This is where questions will be asked and answered, and lives examined for how they match up to the truth of the Bible. The community is where the gospel is proved true. As you build relationships, recognize that it will be a journey. Friendships and communities take time to grow. Faith development, too, must be seen as a process. It starts well before the person is ready to make a faith decision and continues long after their conversion. Lastly, never overlook the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. God's Spirit partners with God's people to accomplish His will. The results of our ministry do not depend on our skill. God is at work, and He will fulfill His purposes. Take a moment right now to consider the teenagers you know who have not yet taken the step of faith to accept Jesus. There is a reason God has placed them in your life. Write down their names, then spend a few minutes praying for them specifically. Pray over their spiritual needs and the struggles they're facing in life, because they are separated from God. Pray that you will have opportunities to deepen your friendship with them, and that your life will reflect the love and truth of Christ. Ask God to prompt them to ask questions so you can share the hope you have for eternity.